people.
Your God is logically impossible and can't even survive the most basic logical obstacles. God of the impossible, huh? It'd be impossible for him to be the God of impossible, stupid. You really need to look at the facts. Look at the holes in your religion. Look at the cracks. Infinite regression prevents a God from even existing, let alone an intelligent one. This is just the beginning. I'm great and square, and no longer am playing fair. I'm Kirk Cameron's worst nightmare. Cheers.
Hello everyone, this is Atheist in Wonderland, and welcome to the first episode of the Bible Belt edition of the Rational Response Squad. I'm hastily making this production in response to all the criticisms that we've received from atheists and theists alike over why we feel the need to speak up. I guess the short answer to that question is that we care. People have different reasons for wanting to speak up, but I'm going to give you mine today. I think that religion devalues life. It makes it seem like there's something more important than humanity in this life, and there isn't. I want to open my case with a quote from the 9/11 hijacker, Muhammad Atta. Everybody hates death, fears death, but only those, the believers who know the life after death and the reward after death, would be the ones who will be seeking death. And I'd like you to compare that quote with this clip.
Lots of that happens today, and I don't have Jesus Christ.
See, you wear a seatbelt when you get in the car? No, you don't lock your door at night or anything? See, that's what I don't like too about Christianity. I value this life immensely.
And even if I don't value this life, I'm in a temporary hope.
Both Muhammad Atta and this Christian evangelical that I approached, who was standing at an intersection with a huge We're All Sinner sign, among others, I'll spare you, they have something in common, and that is their belief that this life is not the only one you get, nor it is even the most important one you get. I believe that this is the only life you get, and you should make the best of it. I also care deeply about humanity, and when I hear from someone who doesn't value their life, my empathetic instincts overwhelm me. I understand that a lot of Christians will find what he said to be appalling, but I also understand that it is Christianity that has made him devalue his life and long for death. I think he takes it more seriously than most Christians, and given the ludicrous assumption that Christianity is true, he is actually thinking logically. This life loses its significance if it is only 70 to 80 years of trials and tribulations, as the Christians call it, and then on to eternal bliss. I can assure you that every reason I have for speaking out against religion has to do with my deep care and concern for humanity. I'm going to go over some of the more disturbing and less talked about criticisms of religion. I like to study the psychological and sociological effects that religion has on people. And for that reason, I like to talk to theists, and there's no shortage of them where I'm at here in the Bible Belt. I've gotten several conversations on tape, and I'll be playing clips from those conversations throughout this show to highlight my reasons for speaking out. First, I want to talk about some of the negative aspects of belief in an afterlife that many of you may have never thought about. Consider in third world countries where poverty, malnutrition, and death by starvation is rampant, and people continue to have children even though they're having trouble feeding themselves. Some of these people have even had children who have died of malnutrition, but they continue to have more kids. I've even heard stories of parents who have taken their children out in the woods just to die. This is extremely sad. I've contemplated about what would cause people to do that, to have children even though they stand a good chance of dying cruel deaths by starvation. And then it hit me, these people think that they will be reunited in an afterlife with their child. My conscience will not let me sit idly by while this is happening in the world. I must speak out. There is no afterlife, and children are being brought into this world and dying cruel deaths because of people's belief in it. Here's another sad fact about belief in an afterlife. There are many people who live in poverty all across the globe, and who they leave it up to God in prayer to try to change things, and they see it as His will if nothing happens. They can be content in leading a miserable life because they think that this life is not the only one, there's a more important one to come. Not only is their belief in an afterlife detrimental to themselves, but it also affects our economy. We can see it in the statistics as well. Whenever there's more people that are devout believers in an afterlife, there's more poverty, like here in the Bible Belt. If there's no afterlife, then what are you left with? People who could have done more to dig themselves out of poverty and enjoy their lives, but they remain content in living in miserable, impoverished conditions. Another sad fact about belief in an afterlife is that it demotivates people to fight to survive when they're standing at death's edge. Say in a car wreck, for instance. There have been many people who have stared death in the face and fought it off to come back and have many more years of enjoyable life. As an unbeliever in an afterlife, if I'm ever staring death in the face, I will fight it off to the best of my ability. If I thought that by giving up my fight to survive that I would enter eternal bliss, it would give me a reason to give up my fight. Despite what some people think,
you don't go to heaven, what else matters?
There's more to life than an afterlife, and there's more to this detrimental belief in an afterlife to have reasons to speak out against religion. A big reason that we feel the need to speak up is to educate the public about what we actually believe. Remember, we don't have TV and radio stations, and we don't come knocking on your door. If left up to the holy books, believers would think we are fools who are corrupt and can do no good, like it says in Psalms 14:1. If left up to the clergy, people would think we just disbelieve for a free ticket to sin, and that we're immoral, and that our position is that we can prove that no gods exist. I can do this for some gods, like the God of the Bible and the God of the Quran, but we'll save that for another show. Our position is not that we can disprove the existence of gods, it is that we don't believe there are any. A lot of Christians think that we are stupid because the clergy set up large straw men against us and knocked them down, making us look like idiots. We need to make Christians aware of what our actual position is. Otherwise, we will likely be the least trusted, most maligned group in America. Oh, wait a minute. We are the least trusted and most maligned group in America. Also, if we left it up to the clergy, believers would think that we are angry and bitter and reject their doctrines because we're unloving people who have something against the joy they have found in their religion. They may not say it. Well, some do. That they think less of us as human beings. In this clip, you will hear this guy's indecisiveness as to whether or not he would do good deeds if he lost his belief in God.
If anything made you lose your belief in God, you think that it's only because you believe in God is the only reason why you would help somebody. You think everybody's
going to stop? I don't know if I would or wouldn't. I mean, I don't know. I might or I might not.
I think by him even having to think about this tells us something about his mindset. It gets worse, though. He doesn't think in an atheistic society that we would have hospitals.
Did Christians start up hospitals to help people? Did Christians start up universities?
Did not everybody, not anybody who's ever lived under any religion or no religion at all want to start a hospital or do anything good?
Well, I'm just saying here in America, from my understanding, it was the Christians who started up
hospitals. So if everybody was atheist, we wouldn't have hospitals.
What hospital did the atheist start up? Name one hospital the atheist has started here in America.
He also thinks that we make the decision to go to hell.
I could not live for 1 minute thinking that there are people being eternally tortured. What kind of heaven could that be? That you knew that somebody you loved was being eternally tortured.
That's a decision they make.
He's insinuating that we are gluttons for punishment and that we don't have sound philosophical reasons and intellectual honesty that prevents us from believing even if we wanted to believe his ridiculous doctrines. Another misconception that needs to be publicly denounced is that we are making a decision to reject love. They think their God is the source of love, therefore if we reject God belief, we're rejecting love itself. Oh dear, this next clip is very scary.
God has called people everywhere to bear fruit in Jesus Christ. If people do not bear fruit in Jesus Christ, they're essentially dead fruit trees.
I'm sure he hasn't talked with many atheists in his life, and he's just parroting something that he has read or heard in church.
People who live this earth as dead fruit trees are only good for one thing. Dead wood is only good to be burned.
Okay, are you convinced that we have ample reason to speak up yet? If for only this reason, that is enough. There are people about, especially down here where I live, who have never met an atheist and are of the opinion that we are incapable of doing good in society, and they're bringing up John 15:6 again, a verse that is responsible for an untold amount of people being burned at the stake. Here's another clip from a conversation I had with a couple of Baptist missionaries who knocked on my door, further proving my point that they think that goodness is coming from God and that we atheists are incapable of it.
God's the one who will have to bring you to a place where you can receive some light. And
if he doesn't, and I am eternally tortured, then you all don't have a problem with that.
Listen,
I'm doing things to help my fellow people
out.
I
was created by a God who gave me a spirit that hates it that you're going to suffer. I do.
He says God will have to show me the light, as if I'm in darkness already, and then he makes it a point to say that God gave him the spirit to hate that I will suffer. As if me without God's light would not hate that people suffer. Later in our conversation, he said something similar. He said, God will have to change your heart. And he admits, in comparison to Hitler, that I'm a good guy. I'll play that clip near the end of the show because I don't want to lose my theistic listeners just yet. I kind of lost my temper with these guys. They had that look on their face, you know, like Ted Haggard in The Root of All Evil. You know, that holier-than-thou look. I know that not every Christian thinks we're incapable of doing good in the world, despite what the Bible says. There are those out there who think we can still be good people, but...
There are good people out here who do not believe in the Christian God.
Yep, and a lot of good people out here are going to go to hell, too.
They still think we're going to go to hell. It's a repulsive notion. People that are good people are going to be eternally tortured by a deity that they hold in the utmost regard.
Whatever God says, amen.
What if I had a friend who was a serial killer that targeted only Christians? What if I told my Christian friends that he was justified in killing Christians, but I think they shouldn't hold that against me for being his friend? What if I said something like this?
God is totally justified in whatever he does.
What if I said my friend was totally justified in killing Christians because he has an arsenal of weapons that makes him mightier than us? I know this analogy is not totally sound because Christians think that God is responsible for our being, but what if the serial killer only killed his children who decided to be Christian? Should I be his friend? And if I was his friend, how would Christians feel about that? I'm sorry if people think I should have respect for someone who befriends someone, real or not, who is dead set on torturing me for my honest hell beliefs. I wouldn't expect you to respect me if I was friends with someone who killed Christians. That said, I do respect everyone's human rights, and I do respect Christians regardless of what they think, because I know their mind is clouded by fear. This fear skews their sense of morality.
All of us deserve hell.
You know, Jeffrey Dahmer repented in jail.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
And he was murdered, too.
Yeah, he repented, so, but does that mean he's going to go to heaven? Just because he believed.
If he truly repented, he went to heaven.
This fear instilled in them by their holy books and their clergy holds back our society's moral progress. Not only do they try to follow the guidelines set forth in the Bible, many of which are immoral and inhibit pleasure that doesn't harm anyone, consensual and safe premarital sex, for instance, they try to get everyone else to follow the Bible's commands and try to inhibit pleasure for others too because they think it's breaking God's laws and God will bring his wrath upon all of society for that. This is another reason to speak up. Christians try to conform society to their beliefs by passing legislation based on their religious beliefs. I won't delve into this because most people are aware of these things already. Okay, now to perhaps the most detrimental aspect of religion. Religious belief hinders scientific progress in many different ways. Opposition to stem cell research, their attempts to thwart the teaching of science, but perhaps the most detrimental aspect is many religious people's inability to think outside of the box that their religious beliefs have trapped them in. The brain power that could have found the cure to cancer or any number of things that will benefit society has been thwarted by fear and the false answers that religion provides to people. When someone thinks they already have the answers to everything, they will not search out to find the real truths. If you accept God did it as an answer to questions, then you won't look for the real answers. There was a time when people were so afraid of thinking outside of the realms of their holy texts, or so certain that they were right, they didn't look for the answers that the scientific method has provided us, which has led to us having longer life expectancies, all of our modern convenience, the very thing that you're listening to this show on right now, all kinds of things. It is not as if these things came about by a closer examination of the holy texts. These things came about by thinking outside of the realms of the holy text. During the Dark Ages, almost no one thought outside of the realms of the holy text for the reasons I've stated, despite what some churches tell you.
It was the Dark Ages because the Bible was not common knowledge.
The Dark Ages were a result of people's strict adherence to holy texts. Scientific thought has progressed far more and much faster ever since the Enlightenment than it did in the previous history of humanity. If you listen to creationists, though, you can still hear the thought process that went on before the Enlightenment happened.
Your talking, breathing, living is supernatural.
I want to play this next clip to demonstrate what I'm talking about. Notice how he appeals to biblical knowledge rather than this common sense or scientific knowledge to answer my question.
Do you believe that dinosaurs and human beings both lived on the planet at the same time at one point?
Well, now, the thing about dinosaurs is, what we call a dinosaur, they may have another name for it back then, so it's more than likely possible. Because he said what was on Earth then is still around now. May have evolved, and it might have a different name.
But you do believe that at one time or another that human beings had to cohabitate with, like, T-Rexes and big dinosaurs and what we call dinosaurs today. I realize they call them...
It could be possible, yeah. Because he said a lot of things, because he said that he took everything two by twos onto the ark of every living thing. So that if there were then back then, and there would be now, or unless they just got killed out by man through extinction and stuff.
Here in 2006, we have a person who thinks that it is possible for human beings and dinosaurs to have cohabitated the planet. This is only logical in a mind unable or too afraid to think outside of the realms of the Bible. Richard Dawkins has called religion a mind virus, and he is right. It is the virus that allows such erroneous beliefs to be held, and it allows all kinds of ignorance of how the world really works to spread through the minds that it has inflicted.
A lot of people call Christians that make.
Oh, I'm not against Christians. I'm against Christianity. I have nothing against Christians. I realize that you just have a mind virus.
A mind virus.
Yeah, really? You've just been conditioned from birth to believe in ridiculous stories like a man lived in a whale's stomach for 3 days.
Well, you know, you tell you the truth. There's someone that's a true story. Not Jonah, but someone else was swallowed by a fire.
And you honestly believe that, and it's 2006?
No, it happened recently. Someone was swallowed, and they were swallowed in the world.
I'm sure.
So even he swallowed by a snake if he were to.
I apologize to my theistic listeners if I came off as a bit rude during that clip. That was because this was another pair of Baptist missionaries that knocked on my door and interrupted my football game. If an atheist ever comes to your door, feel free to be as rude to them as you'd like. I pity the fundy whoever interrupts anything I'm doing that is more important than a football game. I hear people getting on to the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses all the time, but around here it's the Baptists who are all the door-to-door types. The one guy you heard in the previous clip sounded like he had been to Jesus camp.
I believe there is a God.
I do not believe there is a God. There's no evidence whatsoever for the existence of a God. None.
Except for the fact that he changed my life when I was only 5 years old.
And that is another reason to speak out against religion. The indoctrination of children. The fear that retards scientific and moral progress being bestowed upon children too young to think for themselves.
And we proclaim Jesus Christ, his blood, forgiveness of sins, so people who trust in him go to heaven. Those who do not trust in him have nothing to look forward to, like you were talking about, the eternal damnation.
Yeah.
Tormented day and night, forever and ever. There's a double emphasis on it. Jesus, if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he spoke more on hell than he did heaven.
Yeah.
Hell's an awful place. We don't want anybody to go
there. Do you think it's wrong to tell kids that, what you just told me?
No.
To tell them that
they should know what's going on.
No child should be exposed to that doctrine. It is the most demented of all doctrines. It teaches that people shouldn't look for the real reasons to be moral, but should be moral out of fear of punishment, or to just be good for the sake of rewards. Doing good deeds is rewarding in itself. If you don't get a good feeling by helping others, then it's quite possible that you're a sociopath. You will see that when a child is brought up in an environment that is very authoritarian, when they get away from the authority, they will go wild because they haven't learned the right reasons to behave. Evidence for this can be seen at any bar on any college campus. For the same reasons you shouldn't spank a child to behave, you shouldn't teach children the doctrine of hell. If you taught the college kid the reasons that they shouldn't drink, they're less likely to become a drunk than someone who just doesn't drink because their parents said so. Another disturbing aspect of the doctrine of hell is the mental anguish that it causes people of all ages. The tears that have been shed over those who have died in unbelief or otherwise made others think of the possibility that they went to hell are tears that should have never been shed. I watched my grandmother shed these tears after the death of my grandfather, and that just adds to the resentment I have over this doctrine of hell. I like to quote a hero of mine about this subject of hell. If there is a God who will damn his children forever, I would rather go to hell than to go to heaven and keep the society of such an infamous tyrant. I make my choice now. I despise that doctrine. It has covered the cheeks of the world with tears. It has polluted the hearts of children and poisoned the imaginations of men. It has been a constant pain, a perpetual terror to every good man, woman, and child. It has filled the good with horror and with fear, but it has no effect upon the infamous and base. It has wrung the hearts of the tender. It has froze the cheeks of the good. This doctrine should never be preached again. What right have you, sir, Mr. Clergyman, you minister of the gospel, to stand at the portals of the tomb, at the vestibule of eternity, and fill the future with horror and with fear? I do not believe this doctrine, neither do you. If you did, you could not sleep one moment. Any man who believes it and has within his breast a decent throbbing heart will go insane. A man who believes that doctrine and does not go insane has the heart of a snake and the conscience of a hyena. It's Robert Greene Ingersoll, The Liberty of Man, Woman, and Child, from his essay from 1877. Christians should realize that this doctrine is evil and sadistic, but once again, their mind and sense of morality and justice is clouded by fear. I don't think Christians give too much thought to their doctrines. If they did, they would be a lot less Christians. It takes courage and intellectual honesty to be an atheist. For many Christians, these qualities are lacking. Once again, you can trace that directly back to their beliefs. They have been put down, called worms, sung songs in which they are happy to call themselves a wretch, told they are deserving of eternal torment for the crime of having been born. In most cases, this is pushed into their heads while it is still soft, whether it is Sunday school or an AA meeting. Christianity cuts you with a knife and tries to sell you a Band-Aid. That Band-Aid didn't stick with me. I healed my own wounds with rational thinking, but Christianity is still around cutting people, and I still see the Band-Aids people are wearing, and they are bloody. Christianity is not altogether different than battered wife syndrome. The battered wife stays with her husband out of fear in the absence of the intellectual honesty to admit that she had picked the wrong guy. She focuses on the good things that he has done for her and is afraid to adjust to life without him. If you understand what would motivate you to try to get a battered wife to leave her abusive husband, then you will understand why we try to get people to leave their religions. If they can't see the abuse that Christianity and religion in general is causing society after hearing this production, then they are in denial. I hope this at least gets them to think about it, and when they are able to shake off the fear that is instilled in them, they will know that it is okay to not believe. And they will know that there are groups out there like the Rational Response Squad that will support them in that decision. Every Christian should know that good people don't deserve eternal torment. And if they don't, then I have every right to say they have no sense of morality whatsoever. Might does not make right, and if there be a God who will damn me to hell for all of eternity for calling out this doctrine of hell as being the most infamous of all doctrines, then so be it. I will gladly take my place in hell with those of us who cared so deeply for humanity that we didn't cower to the fear of the brutal dictator in the sky, and we spoke out against the things that we saw causing tremendous harm to our society. Moderate and liberal Christians may find themselves in agreement with some of what I have said, but feel they don't contribute to much or any of the reasons I speak out against religion. Keep in mind that this is just some of the reasons. I skipped over the hatred for homosexuals and atheists that stems from religion, the mothers murdering their children for religious reasons, the celibacy that drives priests to rape children, the money that the elderly and gullible are conned out of by pastors, the vast amounts of money, expensive artwork, extravagant buildings, and land that churches have obtained doing little work that could be consolidated and spent to put a major dent into world hunger, and only briefly mentioned religion's attack on civil liberties by trying to legislate their beliefs onto everybody else, children who have died from the lack of medical treatment for religious reasons, the priest dying from handling snakes, the disregard for our environment that stems from belief in the rapture, the dominion over animals that has justified eating animals and mistreating them for some people. Oh yeah, and wars. There are many, many more reasons. I'll state one more before I go, though. Think of the people who stuck around when Hurricane Katrina hit. These people thought God would protect them if they stayed and prayed. These people are dead now because of their belief in a God who doesn't exist. I know that many people were incapable of leaving, but I guarantee you that some used that line of reasoning to want to stay. Even if it was just one person, which I highly doubt, that is one too many. I will devote a later show to just liberal and moderate Christians. All I want to say for now is that when I hear somebody say that they're a liberal or moderate Christian, it sounds to me similar to what it would sound to you if someone said that they were a good Nazi, that they didn't like the concentration camps but supported Hitler. Okay, now as I promised, I will end with a few clips from The Adventures of a Bible Belt Atheist.
Well, you have touched on something extremely serious, because that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Is unforgivable.
I'm not afraid. I don't buy the threats of hell. I don't believe in hell just the same as you don't believe in Allah's hell. It does not scare me, you know, not at all. You have faith that you're not going to Allah's hell.
Okay.
How do you know that you're not going to go to Allah's hell?
I don't believe in Allah.
Yeah, the Bible says there's going to be good people out there in the world that's going to go to hell.
Religion.
How can they die with such a boy in their heart? How can they die with
because
such...
they're at the same way a Muslim can do it. The Muslim can strap a bomb to himself and go in. And I guarantee you, he believes what
yeah,
the doctor.
I do. I believe
he definitely
does.
Believes that
believe
in the same way that you all do. And it's all down to faith. You cannot prove the existence of God. If you could, then everybody would be a Christian. Nobody's wanting suffering. Nobody is conscious. There may be a few people
out
there.
Something you can prove.
Christian does not believe there's multiple ways to go to heaven.
I know. Don't you think that's bad, Paul?
No. That's simple. 2 plus 2.
Yeah, it's simple.
How many answers does 2 plus 2 have?
Okay, do you believe that God created evil?
No.
Would you care to look at Isaiah 45:7?
Isaiah 45:7. Okay, let's see.
It's going to state in there, plain as day, that the Lord admits to creating evil.
From the light, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
Have you ever read that verse before? Have you ever come across that?
Yeah, I probably have, but just didn't read ever since.
Yeah. I mean, I don't expect you to form another opinion right now, but it's plain as day there that that God did create evil. But they have changed that in subsequent Bibles. They changed the word evil there to calamity. In the new KJV and in the NIV, it's calamity. But the Bible has changed a lot down through the years by the hands of man. We don't have the original. There is no one original Bible.
Yeah. So well, you have to have a balance of everything. And so I guess if he created peace and goodness, he would also have. There would also be the evil to go along with it.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to have a balance.
Because if somebody was to claim that God did not create evil, then he couldn't have created good either. Because without good, there can't be no evil.
Right.
You think that just because there's a God, that everyone has to live in a paradise?
No, I just think
if they're not living in paradise, then there must not be a God.
I don't think that. I think if you say your God is all loving and that He allows things like sudden infant death syndrome, parasites, maggots, just all kinds of just filth. The world's great, according to us, you know, but right now, as we're speaking, there's little animals running around scared for their life that it's about to be totally, you know, cruelly, not just put out of existence, but cruelly put out of existence. And you got to say, okay, that was my God did that too, you know. If God made everything, He also made tapeworms and the whole deal, everything.
Yeah, he made all the germs and stuff like that.
And
they're all.
And
part
now, okay,
of his
you can say that God exists, but now to say that God is all loving, that's impossible. I'm more loving than that God, because if I created the world, I wouldn't make tapeworms.
God did create this world as a paradise. And
Adam and Eve sinned. Exactly. I'm very familiar with the whole story.
We brought it upon ourselves.
And
a lot of the bad things that you see in this world were brought upon us by our own stupidity.
Is God all-knowing?
And our own lack of submission.
Is God omniscient? If God is omniscient, he foreknew all this stuff.
Of course he did.
He foreknew Adam and Eve would eat the fruit. You know, he already knew
that.
But he said, okay,
I know,
anyway.
There's plenty of questions I can't answer.
Okay, well, I need answers.
That Jesus was
not
just a man.
I'm not going to believe anything on faith, because if faith is what it takes to believe something is true, then that means all religions are true.
Okay. Therefore, I kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that hath no man by lying with him. But all the women, children, that have not known a man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves.
What do you think about that?
I think what he's trying to do was to get away. My first opinion is that he's trying to get away from the ones that had maybe done wrong and stuff, so that he keep the ones that hadn't done anything wrong and so were still pure in heart and mind, so that they would continue on in the ways that was done.
All right. But do you think that, do you believe that God is all-knowing? He's omniscient.
Yes.
He believes everything? I would not believe. He knows everything, past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And God had sent these people to destroy these people, he says right here in this verse. Do you think that God knew beforehand that he was already going to have, when he created them people, that he was already going to have to kill them? With swords, I take it, because that's all they had back then.
Yep.
Do you believe that he knew that he was going to have to do that before he created them?
Well, I don't know. That one's about philosophy, but I'd say he can see it through time and everything else, and I'd say he probably didn't knew eventually that he would have to do it. But man has the free will and stuff, so I think he was kind of hoping they may not do it, but he saw it as happening.
I don't need Jesus. What's up with me? You know,
sorry,
there's 30 million. There's 30 million Americans in this country who believe similar to me.
Yeah.
And we don't need Jesus, and we're still happy.
The day after you die, you'll change your mind.
Well, what about if Allah's the true God? Will you change your mind then? The day after you die? And do I deserve to be eternally tortured just
Allah
because I believe
not
this?
The true God, because the founder of that religion was a murderer.
The Bible prophesied there would be a nation. And scoffers laughed at the Bible for 1,000 years, saying Jews was not a nation, and God fulfilled that prophecy in 1948.
And look at what it's caused, more bloodshed.
You're going to wonder when they say on the news that we were all taken out by some alien being. You're going to wonder.
If I see anything like that, I'm not like opposed to evidence. I want to see the evidence. If I see all of a sudden, poof, there's a whole bunch of people missing, I'm going to automatically think, wow, okay, there's something going on here.
Because of the opportunity you had to get saved, you will believe whatever lie they come up with. You will believe the media.
That's what y'all are brainwashed to think. I want evidence. I'm not opposed to evidence.
There's so much evidence.
I mean, I'm not crazy.
There is a lot of evidence, and you're not willing to accept it.
See, that's what you all, that makes you feel better, doesn't it? But it's not true. Because if you were to offer me any kind of evidence that I can verify myself, I would definitely believe.
You've seen a bunch.
I have not seen none.
And when I was in your position,
what is the evidence that
I've
seen?
Conveniently forgotten a whole bunch of evidence.
What is the evidence that I'm missing out on here?
There's no sense in me talking about it because you've already heard it all.
And
you've already decided that none of it's true.
I've not already decided that. I'm totally open-minded.
That's
y'all's way out. That's what makes y'all feel better about it. But the truth is, I have, and I'm an honest person. I'll follow the truth wherever it is.
We could show you all kinds of evidence today, and you'd find a way to get around every bit of it.
You're damn right. Okay, this is going to be the last clip. This is where I lost my temper at the end. Them guys they got under my nerves. They was teaming up on me, and they had that Ted Haggard look. I hate that Ted Haggard look. I welcome your feedback, comments, questions, criticisms, anything you got. BibleBelt@rationalresponders.com. Well, anyways, until I get around to making another show, guys, I hope you enjoyed this presentation.
As well read as you are, as much as you know about the Bible, you have already discarded every evidence that you ever saw.
No,
and that's what you'll continue to do.
I want there to be evidence.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Faith is not evidence. That's my point. That's what y'all should know about. Faith is not evidence.
We're talking about good evidence that you've already read many times in your life, and you've discarded all of it, and you'll continue to do that until God changes your heart. And the only way
there's nothing wrong with my heart. I'm a good guy. I know.
I know you feel that way, and in comparison to Hitler, you are. But in comparison to Jesus, you're nothing.
Jesus is an asshole, man. He sucked my nuts.
Billy, you have a good day, and God bless you.
Fuck your God, man, and fuck your religion, and fuck you all.
Bowling for Columbine did it to the gun culture. Supersize Me did it to fast food. Now the God who wasn't there does it to religion. Holding modern Christianity up to a bright spotlight, this bold and often hilarious new film asks the questions few dare to ask. Your guide through the world of Christendom is former fundamentalist Brian Fleming, joined by such luminaries as Jesus Seminar fellow Robert Price, Professor Richard Dawkins, author Sam Harris, and historian Richard Carrier. See the movie the Los Angeles Times calls provocative, to put it mildly. Hold on to your faith. It's in for a bumpy ride. Purchase The God Who Wasn't There at www.rationalresponders.com.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.